out of the box. In the New Testament, he is the box. He is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so I'm thankful that today is our celebration of baptism. And so I want to talk about baptism today. In case you have any questions about it, in case you don't know what baptism is, we do baptism by immersion. I don't really care how you do it. I really don't. I prefer immersion. I think Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. But really, it's a symbolic act of the identification of your death, your burial, and your resurrection. That Jesus, just as Jesus died, was crucified, died, and buried, he was quickened, raised, and seated. And the scripture says, and that our life is hid with God in Christ, that we are buried with him in baptism. Amen? So when we go out there today, we're having a celebration. And baptism is all about new beginnings and new life, right? And some people will be baptized for the first time. Some people will come and be baptized again because they just feel like they need a new beginning, or they need a fresh start, or they just need a reminder, or they just need to re-identify with it, or they just need to bury some things. Did you ever just need to bury some things in your life? And here's what I encourage you to do today. When you bury them, leave them there. Amen. Don't take them back home with you. Don't dig it back up. The scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind. Pumbaa the Lion King said you got to put your behind in your past. That's from the book of Pumbaa. But we need to bury some things, and we need to leave them there. You know, unforgiveness is one of those things that we carry around with us that is way too heavy to carry. Bitterness is way too heavy to carry. And sometimes the hardest person we have for forgiving is ourselves. And forgiving our past, or forgiving our actions, or forgiving our failures. Probably when I said that to you, all of you, maybe not all of you, had a moment pop in your mind saying, man, I wish I could have forgot that. I wish I could leave that behind. I want to tell you, today is a fresh start and a brand new day. That Jesus breaks every chain. He really does. And I believe that we can have scars and not have pain. See, the problem is sometimes we have scars and pain. And it takes a little while for those things to heal. And sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we're bitter. Sometimes we're frustrated. But how many are thankful that our healing comes from the inside out? And sometimes it takes a process of time. When I was just a teenager, I was probably only about 12 years old. I was babysitting, and I took a TV dinner out of the oven. And I went to open it for the kids that I was babysitting for. And when I did, I flipped that thing, and it landed upside down on my thigh. And it brought a third-degree burn from my thigh all the way down to my knee. When I went to the bathroom and went to wash the mashed potatoes and gravy, you know, those yummy TV dinners. When I went to wash the mashed potatoes and gravy off my leg, the skin peeled off of my leg with it. And it just rolled off of my leg. And I had a burn. One of the worst things, I've broken legs. I've had surgery. Burns are just crazy. But I carried a scar on that thing. For a very long time. And it was a slow process of that thing healing. It took a while because, try not to be graphic, but when I went to the doctor, he pulled all the rest of that skin off of there in a patch about this big. And what it did was left it raw and oozing so that everything that touched it stuck to it. And so I walked around with my dress held up like this most of the time, so nothing touched it, so hair didn't get in it. So it was a long process of healing that burn, but it had to heal from the inside out. And once it finally healed, thank you, Jesus, it left a scar. There was a scar on there for a while. But I can tell you today that I can touch that place on my leg. And there is a trace, a very small trace that it happened. And there is a memory in my mind that it happened. But I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't hurt anymore. And see, there are sometimes we can have scars and we can have injuries and we can have pain. And we've got to give God time to heal those places in our minds and in our hearts and in our being. But I can tell you there'll come a time that you might have a memory of it and you might have a scar to show it, but it doesn't hurt anymore because you've come through it. God has brought healing and restoration in your life. Can anybody raise your hand and say, I have been healed of some scars and some pain in my life? There's things in life sometimes we just don't understand. I don't know why they happen, don't know why they come. But what I do know is I know the healer who can heal from the inside out, that even in the middle of bad situations and circumstances, there can be a peace from God that truly passes understanding. And so my desire is, Lord, bring that supernatural peace. How many in here want peace in your life today? Everybody, I believe, wants to live in peace. Don't you wish that you could buy peace? But you can't. The richest people in the world cannot buy peace. Hallelujah. But I was thinking about the service this morning and thinking about our baptism that's coming up. You know, it's a burial service, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to bury the old man, and then we're going to resurrect the new man. Amen. And so that we can identify with our new life in Christ, that resurrection life, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. So our service today, we're going to have a rest in peace service. You know what that means, right? It doesn't just mean rip. It says rest in peace, right? And we say that a lot when people pass away. We'll say, well, may they rest in peace. Amen. And I believe there is a peace that comes with God. I believe there is a peace even beyond this life. I believe there's a power and a peace. But I believe what baptism does for you is causes you to rest in peace. And it can bring peace in your life when you realize it's a new life, it's a new start, and it's a new day. Amen? So sometimes when we go to the waters of baptism, we are entering that rest because we enter into His rest, right? That's something, you know, there's a scripture that says that you labor to enter into that rest. That seems like an oxymoron, right? That you labor to enter into rest. Well, yeah. I mean, the greatest rest and peace that you ever have is that scripture says that He is the peace that passes all understanding. And that He brings that peace in our life, and that we can experience that true peace through God. Doesn't mean all of our questions are answered. Doesn't mean we don't still question. Doesn't mean we still don't go through things. Anybody ever had questions? And I have people say all the time, you know, I know we're not supposed to question God. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But I don't really find that in the scripture. But there's just sometimes that me and Him will just talk out loud. And I'll say, Lord, I just don't know. I don't understand. I need Your wisdom. I need Your guidance. I need Your direction. Because even in the midst of this storm, I know that I can walk on water. Amen. And we've got to come to the place where we realize, see, Peter is in the boat and he's in a storm, but he doesn't realize that even in the midst of the storm, he's got the power to walk on water. Until he says, Lord, is this You? Lord, is this You? And if it's You, bid me come to You. Because if You bid me come, I'm going to get out of this boat. Even in the midst of the storm and even in the midst of the waters, that I can have the ability to rise above where I am right here and right now in my life and receive that peace and receive that new beginning. So it's a burial service, but it's a new beginning. Some people do it because they just need a fresh start where they are right here, right now. Some people did it when they were young but don't really remember and say, you know what, I just want a reminder of what that is and what that means. And some people say, you know, I just got some things I want to bury. I want to leave behind. And some people are fresh and new converts and saying, I want to identify with the life of Christ in me. I want to realize that what God has begun in me, what He has started in me, He that hath begun a good work in you is able to perform it. See, we don't have to be performers. We don't have to perform it. He is able, and we can allow Him to perform in us what He wants to bring about and what He wants to develop in our life. It's not just about what you do. It's about what he does in you. Baptism is not just about you taking the step to make that baptism and to take the plunge. But it's about what he does in you because you take that step. Amen. Amen? And I believe baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. It's an outward testimony. It's an outward display of what God is doing on the inside of you. And so as you take that step, you're saying to everybody, I am making a step. I am burying the old man. I am resurrection in new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And we have that ability in Christ. I want to read out of Romans chapter 6 this morning, starting at verse 1. And I'm going to read it from the Message Bible because I just like how it says it. And then I'm going to touch on a few things, and I'm going to let you go so you can get that dish made for this evening. Get that chicken, that mac and cheese, and that salad and fresh vegetables. All those things for today.
Sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Yeah. You know, so God says, come and reason with me. Yeah. You know, when I have questions, I'm trying to reason it out with someone, you know, or even try to reason it out with God. Yeah. I don't always get the answer I want, but he comes and talks to me. Yes. And, you know, so I know God is available for our questions. Yes. If we want to ask him something, he's there.
Amen. Come and let us reason together.
Hallelujah.
He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's what the word declares. One of the good things is sometimes, and some people will say to me, why don't God doesn't speak to me? I don't know what the sound, I don't know what his voice sounds like. And really it's not so much as audible as it is. It's not so much that what you hear as much as what you feel. Right? Not so much as what you feel. But one of the great things about talking to Jesus, even if you don't hear that audible voice, is just someone to talk to. You know, sometimes you talk to people that you know or love or want your best interest, and they've got an opinion on how you ought to do things. And sometimes we can get caught up on people's opinion, but sometimes just saying things out loud, you've heard me say before, some of my best times with talking with Jesus is when I'm in my car. It's just me and Jesus got our own thing going in that car. And when I don't have cell signal, sometimes on the lawnmower. It's in those quiet times. It's in those times where, and I'll just audibly talk out loud. So if you pass me on the interstate sometime and I'm talking, I'm probably not talking to myself, although I could be, but I'm probably talking to Jesus or I'm singing. So I really haven't lost it yet, I don't think. But communication and relationship are vital. In a relationship, there must be communication. Do you agree with that? Every hand goes up, right? Amen. One of the things we fail to do the most in relationships, whatever it is to communicate our true feelings. So that when your husband says to you, are you mad? And you say, nope. He knows you are, even though what you said was no, the way you said it was yes. Sometimes we fail to communicate our true feelings. We say what we think people want to hear us say, or we say what we want to say to cover our true feelings. But communication, honest communication, is vital in a relationship. If you're upset, say I'm upset, and then be willing to talk it out and come up with a solution. Amen? Because it's when we don't, then we harbor those things sometimes, and then they're harder to deal with later. So I believe communication with God is vital. Time to talk with him, read his word, spend time in worship and word and communication and fellowship with him. So let's read Romans 6, 1 through 14. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old address there? Didn't you realize? We packed up and left there for good. We've left that old life, that old nature. That is what happened in baptism. Let me read that again. Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer it sins every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included into his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. Somebody ought to say amen there. Never again, spiritual death or physical death will have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way that you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. Amen. You are living in the freedom of God. Glory. That's a powerful portion of Scripture to me. That's a powerful portion of Scripture. When we identify that we are identifying with his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that's what baptism does for you, his death, his burial, and his resurrection through water, through the Scripture says, through the washing of the water by the Word. Amen. And we realize and understand that that water is not what washes your sins away today. The blood of Jesus is what washes your sins away. What that water does is make a symbolic statement that I am crucified, died, buried, I am quickened, raised, and seated with him, resurrected into a new life in Christ. Hallelujah. And so we don't give, does that mean that you won't be faced with challenges when you come up out of the water? No. Does that mean you're not going to have some failures or some shortcomings or some mark missing or some times of doubt? No. But how many know it's the progression of the understanding of the life of God in you, allowing him to live in you from the inside out. And identifying with that and that life in Christ. Psalms 46 and 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. And in Revelation 22, the scripture says, and he showed me a pure river, a clear river. Where did it flow at? It flowed out of the throne, out of the tree of life, and from a slain lamb. How many know that is the river that we are baptized into? Today it's called Kekapen State Park. At times it had been called Hiles Pond. I have done it in the Boer swimming pool. I have baptized people with a pitcher in their living rooms. I believe mom's baptized them in bathtubs before. We've poured it on the head. We've baptized him whatever way it is. Because here's the thing. When people want to identify with their baptism, that's when we need to do it. Right? And it doesn't matter so much how you do it as long as you understand why you're doing it. That how you identify with that. That what it is, it's a brand new start. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. And I love the scripture. Jesus gives us the example of baptism, right? In the New Testament, one of the first things we see in the New Testament is Jesus comes on the shore of the Jordan River that day, and John is just preaching his heart out. Repent for the forgiveness of sins and be baptized. Turn from this wicked generation. And he's just preaching. He's preaching up a storm. And all of a sudden, the scripture says that Jesus comes onto the shore. And he tells him, he said, I'm not the one. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not he. But I come bearing witness of one whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he begins to say, you know, preach of Jesus, the one who is to come. Remember, we talked about John being baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. There's no doubt in my mind that when Mary and Elizabeth make the connection and at the salutation of Mary's voice, that baby leaps in the womb. And I believe there's a connection right then and there between John and Jesus. And the scripture doesn't tell us that they ever have opportunity to meet. I don't know the rest of that story. There's a lot of the rest of that story I don't know that I'd love to know. See, I have a list of questions that I want to know the rest of that story. But we don't know the connection. But here's what I do know. When Jesus steps up onto the shore of Galilee, John stops the revival service he's preaching. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says to Jesus, I'm not even worthy to baptize you. But I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, no, John, you go ahead and do it that we might fulfill the word of the Lord. We might fulfill all prophecies. Glory. He said, I'm not even worthy to unlatch your shoes. And he takes Jesus into the Jordan. And when he takes Jesus into the Jordan and he baptizes the Son of God. You know, Jesus identifies with the mission of which he's been sent on. He identifies that he's the one slain, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He identifies with his death, his burial, and his resurrection that's about to come. He identifies with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was prophesied to come. And Jesus, who is our heavenly mercy seat, Joshua stepped into the Jordan River with the physical mercy seat, and the waters rolled back to Jordan. But when our heavenly mercy seat steps into the Jordan this day, the waters don't roll back, but guess what does? The heavens do. And when it does, the Spirit descends as a dove, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Guess what? He's got the approval of the Father. And so that when he gets sent into the wilderness and he's tempted of the devil in the wilderness, he said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus, all he had to do was say to him, evidently you didn't hear what my Father just said on the shore of Jordan. I want you to know today in your baptism, you have the approval of the Father. You have the approval of the Father. You are the daughter or the son of a king. In whom he is well pleased, and the heavens are open to you today, and the Spirit of God is descended upon us. It can be on you, in you, through you, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the dove was a symbol of the Holy Spirit that's fulfilled in the scripture as those two join an old covenant and a new covenant come together in one. And then John makes a statement and says, I must decrease and he must increase. See, we quote that thinking, I got to decrease, I got to decrease, I got to decrease. That's not what he was saying. John said, I will decrease because I have come as far as an old order, old line prophet can come, and now the Messiah is on the scene. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus begins his heavenly ministry. I want to talk for just a moment. There are a couple times in the scripture where Jesus does a healing through the waters or does a healing through the pools. And one of them is when he comes to the man who is born blind. And the disciples said, Lord, why is this man born blind? Is it his sins of his father and mother? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, not that either one sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest. And what Jesus does with this man, he steps down, and in the clay, he spits in the dust and in the clay, and the very DNA of the mouth of God spits into the clay, and he takes that clay and he puts it on the eyes of that blind man, and he speaks healing into the eyes of the blind man. Now, another thought struck me the other day. It's another rest of those story. I was thinking the other day as I was at the beach, and I was pondering on this scripture, and that Jesus says to this man who's born blind, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Right? That's what it says. How in the world did he find the pool of Siloam? Because he's blind. Right? The scripture tells us he does not receive his sight until he goes and he is sent. And when he gets to the pool, he receives his sight. Now, the water from the pool of Siloam is the same water that's poured out on a drink offering on the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus stands up and says, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. Here's what I submit to you. Doesn't tell us. I don't know, but here's my guess. Somebody had to take him by the hand and get him to the pool. Anybody in here ever had anybody take you by the hand and to take you to the waters? To take you to the river, to take you to the healing spot, to help you walk out what God has spoken to you. Because it's not just enough to get touched. You've got, the word Siloam means sent. You've got to be sent, and in the walking and in the journey and in the obedience to the voice of God, somewhere between where he was begging and that pool of Siloam, somebody got a hold of somebody who couldn't see and took them to the pool of Siloam. And he was made every whit whole. Here's what I submit to you today. There are a whole lot of us who have walked around in blindness, but thank God for somebody that can get a hold of your hand and walk you to a place of refreshing and healing, and where God can manifest something in your life, that we don't stay where we were. We don't have to stay blind, broken, crippled, lamed, or hurt, but somebody can get a hold of us. And I don't know if he could smell the water. I don't know if he'd been to the water before, but I'm sure when Jesus spoke to him and said, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam, I'm guessing somebody said, I'll take you. You need to go to the pool of Siloam. And he probably said, somebody get me to the water. Somebody take me to the place where Jesus can do something supernatural in my life. Hallelujah. See, my desire for you today is when you get there in baptism, that if somebody takes a hold of you and leads you to the pool today, that God does something supernatural in your life. And it's not just that water out there. Every time we come in here, there is a pool that is stirred. Amen. Because the other time when Jesus did a healing by the waters, it's the man who laid by the pool of Bethesda. And he had been crippled for a very, very long time. 38 years. 38 days is too long. 38 minutes is too long. But 38 years is a very long time. And as he laid there at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus asked him a question and says, do you want to be made whole? And it always boggles my mind because the man does not say yes or no. He said, well, let me tell you why I'm not whole. Let me tell you all the reasons why I'm not healed. Well, probably I have sin in my life, because that's what was wrong with the guy who was born blind, right? They were trying to figure out how much sin was in his life. Or maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I didn't pray hard enough. I don't know why. Jesus didn't ask him why. He said, do you? Do you want to be made whole? And he said, well, the waters get stirred, and he said, before I can get down there to that pool, somebody gets in ahead of me, and they get my healing. Here's another question. The rest of the story. If I've been doing this for 38 years, and somebody's been getting in ahead of me before I get there, tomorrow when you carry me to the pool, just go ahead and throw me in. Go ahead and put me on the edge. get me close enough that I can do the elbow crawl or I can roll. We used to play King of the Hill when we were kids, and we'd get up at the top of the hill and we would roll as fast as we could roll down to the bottom of the hill. My mom would say, that's going to burn when you get in the tub tonight, because we'd roll in that fresh grass and then you go to get in the, you know what I'm talking about? If you haven't played King of the Hill, you need to. Maybe you need 7 or 8 siblings, I don't know, but that's what we did for entertainment. We didn't have TV, so we rolled down the hill. But here's my thing. If that is how it's working, then lay me close enough tomorrow. Because if I've got a chance to get in with everything I've got and receive a healing and wholeness, I'm getting in the water next time. And Jesus says to him, it's on the Sabbath, and Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Why does he tell him to take up his bed on the Sabbath day? Because it is absolutely against the law of the Sabbath to carry a bed on the Sabbath. Jesus knew that. He knew what day it was. Why tell this man, rise? Why not just heal him, let him go, he can come back and get his bed tomorrow? Right? Because here's the deal. If you leave the bed where it's at, you're tempted to go back to it tomorrow. There are times when you got to roll up where you've been laying. You got to pack up where you've been camping out. Cancel the address. Put a we've moved sign on the door. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Move out of that place. Healing is progressive. You got to put one foot in front of the other. But you got to pack up everything else that's been baggage. Everything that would cause you to lay down and want to quit or be broken or maimed or hurt or stay where you are. It is crucial you do not stay where you are, but you stand up, rise up, take up your bed, and walk out of that place. There's healing in the waters. Not just the physical waters, but the waters and the anointing of His Holy Spirit in our life. That if we'll allow Him to do that, to make Himself so real to us, say, Lord, make Yourself real to me. In closing, I read something last night. A friend of mine sent me a clip. And it's the testimony on CBN of one of the lead singers in the band Korn, that God supernaturally changed his life, turned him around, and they showed his baptism and showed his, you know, he said he was doing drugs, and he said he looked up and I said, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. I mean, sometimes in our desperation, we cry out and say, God, if you're real, show yourself real. I mean, this man at the pool was desperate for Jesus. This man who was born blind was desperate for Jesus, because what Jesus really was showing in this portion of Scripture is the greater blindness was not the man who laid at the gate begging. The greater blindness was those in the synagogue that said, wait a minute, who did this? And the man come back and said, I don't know. Hallelujah. I didn't see him. I think I know who it was. I've heard about him, but I couldn't see till I went to the pool. And later, they question his parents. Was he born blind? Is this him? Because they really are bringing accusations because he did it on the Sabbath day. Sometimes our religious mindset wants to disqualify the miracle and forget about the person that God wants to move in their life. And they throw him, the Scripture says, and they throw him out of the synagogue. Best thing could have happened to him. They throw him out of the synagogue. Jesus comes back to him and said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, I want to. Who is he, Lord? And Jesus said, it's me. You've had an encounter with Jesus today. And you have been made whole. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. You've had an encounter with Jesus. One of the things I want to mention in closing, the Pool of Siloam was a rock-cut pool on the southern slope of the city of David. It was the original site of Jerusalem outside the walls of the old city. It was fed by the waters of the Gihon Spring by two aqueducts. It was the main water source built to supply water in case of a siege. Does anybody know where the Gihon River was? It was in the Garden of Eden. It was one of the four rivers. Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, or Euphrates were the four rivers that flowed out Eden. I believe in the waters. There is a place of rest, a place of paradise, a place of a garden, a place of new beginnings. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're in here this morning, you don't know Jesus, you feel he's dealing with your heart, please come to the altar. We'd be glad to pray with you. If you'd like to get baptized today, we would love to accommodate you. Come and be a part of that this afternoon.